Good evening and welcome to all of you to this service. It's a service that we've been anticipating for quite some time. And actually, we're hoping to do it in the spring, and then the world fell apart. And so here we are tonight, and we've been praying that God would give his direction, and we believe that he has done that. And tonight we are waiting on him for the final decision. Brother Brian Musser will come and lead us in some singing, and then we'll have a devotional, and then Brother Bob will take over and proceed from there.
Number 520 in the Christian Hymnal.
We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now on above. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
In Exodus chapter 18, we read the account where Moses' father-in-law came to visit and brought Moses' wife Zipporah and their two children. And as he came, he spent the day with Moses, watching him work. And in this account, he makes some observations. And I'm going to read from Exodus 18, verses 13 through 27. The next day, Moses took his seat to serve as judge for the people, and they stood around him from morning till evening. When his father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he said, "What is this you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit as judge while all these people stand around you from morning till evening?" Moses answered him, "Because the people come to me to seek God's will whenever they have a dispute. It is brought to me, and I decide between the parties and inform them of God's decrees and laws." Moses' father-in-law replied, "What you are doing is not good. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. Listen now to me, and I will give you some advice, and may God be with you. You must be the people's representative before God and bring their disputes to Him. Teach them the decrees and laws and show them the way to live and the duties they are to perform. But select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Have them serve as judges for the people at all times, but have them bring every difficult case to you. The simple cases they can decide themselves. That will make your load lighter because they will share it with you. If you do this, and God so commands, you will be able to stand the strain, and all these people will go home satisfied." Moses listened to his father-in-law and did everything he said. He chose capable men from all Israel and made them leaders of the people, officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. They served as judges for the people at all times. The difficult cases they brought to Moses, but the simple ones they decided themselves. Then Moses sent his father-in-law on his way, and Jethro returned to his own country. We're not choosing a judge tonight. Fortunately, we don't have to get into all that. This is an interesting time to think of that. But we're not choosing a judge. But God has made it clear that to do the work of the church, we need capable men to continue and to grow and to mentor into these positions. And tonight, as a church, we have recognized the need for that. There's 6 points here that I want to just kind of hit quickly. And, you know, I find it interesting that here in the Old Testament is basically a mirror of what Paul says in 1 Timothy 3 in the character of the men that Moses was to choose. And the first one is that they are to be wisely chosen. The second one, they're to have a high moral character. The third, additional leaders make the job of leading easier. Fourth one, delegating leadership responsibilities to other qualified individuals enlarges the impact of your leadership. And I want to say enlarges the impact not only on the church, but on the community and the surrounding area. Delegated leadership will help all of the leaders be able to endure the arduous task of leading and not become worn out, exhausted, or discouraged. Delegated leadership will result in the organization functioning more effectively and efficiently. In Acts chapter 1 and in chapter 6, the church needed qualified men to lead the church. And Acts chapter 3 reads this, "Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty." For some time, we as a church have been anticipating this weekend. The church has identified the need to add leadership. The church has been praying for God's direction for who that would be. They have chosen 2 men who have a good reputation, who are serious in their relationship with God, full of the Holy Spirit, and full of wisdom. Tonight, we give God the final choice for his choosing. Let's pray. Father, tonight we come to this service with anticipation. We come to this service expecting you to speak. And we commit Harley, Janice, the children, Curtis and Alyssa, and their children to you tonight. We commit the church at New Holland to you, the future of this church, as a testimony in this community. We pray for Brother Bob as he leads out. Father, would you just give him clear thinking and wisdom as he goes through this service tonight. We ask for your direction and your care. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll turn it over to Brother Bob now.
So good evening to you, and it's a joy to be here. It's very much of a delight to be involved with the leadership of the church selection. For some of you as visitors, I serve as one of the overseers for the Biblical Mennonite Alliance, and so the organization is also involved with the church here at New Holland. As Brother Dale alluded to, the church did select these two brothers. Both are very eligible and willing to serve if God would have that for them, and we appreciate that. Wanted to make sure my mic was on. I almost forgot. We appreciate their willingness to be interviewed. It's a lengthy process, about an hour and a half for each one, both the husband and the wife, and to make sure that people are in the same mindset that we are as church family and the organization of Biblical Mennonite Alliance, and they were. I want to make sure for those, especially for the children and the younger people who may not have been through a lot before, when you have two men or more that you're trying to select who God would have, we choose by lot method. There's nothing magical about it. There's nothing that tries to be off color. It is something that's historically been done for hundreds and hundreds of years in church decision making. And what I did earlier is I placed a slip of paper that indicates that the Lord has placed his hand on you for this call in one of the books before you at a page number that I know only. And then I asked Brother Dale to shuffle those books as well out of my sight, so I do not have any idea which book it's in. And then I would like to begin a little bit more of the process of the lot. And I asked Brother Brian Musser if you would come stand by the door there. We do this for formality's sake. If you would stand attended at that door. And I'm going to ask Brother Scott Hoover, a member here at the church, to come and take these books out and shuffle them in the room to my left. You would do that. When you get done shuffling them, you can retire to your seat. I know you've been praying before this weekend, but I would invite you for silent prayer. Be thinking what God's work and direction in the church is right now. Thank you, Brother Scott. Again, for those who may be visiting, Brother Lee Hoover is a pastor in Cupford, Georgia, who's assisting me this weekend, and I'm going to ask him to go out to the same room and reshuffle those books again and return them to the front of the church here on this table. While that's being done, some of you may be wondering, why the lot first? Several churches, several ordinations I've participated in licensing was the wishes of the church. There's nothing wrong or right. We'll have the message here in just a little bit. Thank you, Brother Lee. But the point of it being is that these couples, these individuals sitting here would know who has been asked to lead out prior to the message. And so that's why we do it first. I'm going to ask those that can kneel. Now, if you cannot kneel for physical reasons or health, please do not. For those that can kneel, let's kneel. And Brother Dale, would you lead us in prayer, final prayer, before we come to the point of selecting this lot?
Father, we come before you. We recognize that you are the ultimate authority in our lives. You have given us many tools to work with. You've given us the Holy Spirit. And you've given us your presence in our lives. And tonight, as a church, we've asked you for guidance. We've asked you for clear direction. We've asked you to guide us in this process of choosing someone to add to the leadership team. And God, now we commit these two men to you, and we ask you to direct the choosing of the lot. We place it in your hands, and we submit to what you reveal to us tonight. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Dale. Brother, it's now time, Brother Curtis, Brother Harley, to rise from your feet, when you feel the right moment, to step forward and select one of these books, one at a time, then resume your seat with the book in hand. Brother Lee, would you come and assist me? Thank you. Brother Harley, this slip is placed in here. God has spoken clearly through the lot for you to serve as a minister here at New Holland. I want you just to hold your book for right now. Brother Curtis, I will confirm, because we serve a God of miracles, and I don't limit God whatsoever. There's no slip here. Brother Curtis, as we spoke before, for you and your wife, it is a great honor to be asked by your church to lead out. And we appreciate your willingness to do that, really do. And I would like to pause for a moment, have you stand, your wife, Alyssa, and Brother Lee, would you be with prayer, a special prayer for this couple?
God, I just thank you for Curtis and Alyssa and their willingness to accept this call in their lives. So thank you, God, for the godly people that they are, the church that called them. So, God, just pray a blessing on them as they go from here and as they seek God's will for the rest of their life, Lord, that you always continue to guide, direct, and bless them.
Bless you. Love you. Love you very much. Wellness and sit down. It's always a challenge when you have brothers who are willing to serve, and they at that point in time in life is not chosen that time. I've assured these brothers before the service that that's going to happen, of course, as we understood it, and that God still has a place and a time, I feel, for leadership for you. I don't know where or when, not a prophet, But I believe he does. And we simply give that over to God. I think I left my vows up here. I didn't mean to do that, but I did. Brother Lee is standing with me. Brother Harley, Sister Janice, would you please stand? I'll be asking you these questions, and you respond as you feel so led. Brother Harley, the Lord through the church has called you to serve in Christian ministry. Are you willing to accept this call by the grace of God and the aid of His Spirit to give yourself to the work of the Lord as a faithful minister? Do you promise to give heed to all the doctrines of the Word of God, to accept them as the guide and the rule of your life, and to preach and teach them as the authoritative will of God with unchanging fidelity? Are you willing to exercise your ministry in accordance with the Word of God, the confession of faith accepted by the Biblical Mennonite Alliance, the counsel of the church, and in all things show yourself an approved workman in the vineyard of the Lord? Yes. Sister Janice, are you willing for your husband to accept this ministry to which he has been called? Do you promise by the grace of God and the aid of the Holy Spirit to give yourself as a faithful companion to the work of the Lord in standing by and encouraging your husband in this noble work? I'd like to ask you at this time if you would to come to the center and kneel toward the front this way. Just kneel right here if you would. Then I'd like to have the local pastors, their spouses, Brother Dale, Brother Junior, their wives, come with us at this time. Brother Harley, upon the confession and these promises which you have made before God and these witnesses, we herewith charge and license you as a minister of the gospel. Preach the word in its purity. Warn the sinners. Admonish the unconverted to repent. Instruct, comfort, and encourage the believers. Visit the sick and afflicted. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Do the work of an evangelist and make full proof of your ministry. Likewise, give heed unto thyself. Walk circumspectly. Read the word. Meditate upon its precious precepts. Pray without ceasing. In all these things, seek to be a faithful laborer in the vineyard of the Lord. Continue these things, for in so doing you shall save both yourself and those that hear you. May God, who has called you to this high and holy calling, fill you with the Holy Ghost, give you grace and wisdom, and bless you in all things through His Son, Jesus Christ. You stand now, Harley, if you would. Bless you, brother. Bless you. Bless you very much. Now, if you as a couple would stand together here again. And I'm going to ask Brother Dale and Irvin to pray for you.
Father in heaven, again, we are grateful to you this evening for your presence, for your guidance, for your leadership. Thank you for helping us, hearing us, and thank you, God, for what you have done. I pray for Arlene. and Janet in this new responsibility and ask a special blessing for them, guidance and strength as they move forward. And God, thank you for them. And I pray that you would just bless their lives and their children as we move forward as a church into the future as well. So God, may you enable him and may you strengthen them in this call.
God, we thank you for bringing us to this point this evening.
Yes.
Thank you for your guidance, your direction, your spirit that led and guided us through this process. And we thank you, Lord, for faithful men that you can call to lead your church. Lord, as you called our brother Harley and sister Janet to your service this evening, Lord, we know that you promised to lead, guide, and direct them. We promise, Lord, your spirit will be their constant companion through whatever you call them to do in the future. So, Lord, we thank you. Stand in awe of your wisdom tonight. Pray, Lord, that your spirit will deal with, guide, and direct them. Pray, Lord, for their families, children. So it'll be an adjustment for all of them, Lord, that you would reveal yourself in special ways.
Thank you, Lee, for picking up there. I'd like to have the children, Harley and Janice, the children come up and we'll have a special prayer blessing. We know as pastors, being a pastor affects your family. It does. So just come on up and stand with your dad and mom. And we have Brother Sam prepare himself to come up and pray for the children specifically, if you would do that. You know, the family is so important to us. And then to go through the process of ordination, licensing, in this case, it affects everyone in the family. So, Brother Sam, would you offer a prayer of dedication, commitment for these children, Harley and Janice?
Dear God, I want to say thank you for this family, for these children, Harley and Janice. I want to say thank you for their commitment to the church, for your kingdom, for the future, for the way that you lead us, direct this family. And I know that these children are going to be making some adjustments, some changes. This family is going to make some changes. And so I want to ask you that you would allow special grace to this family at this time of adjustment. You bless the children as they commit to the support, the help, and the guidance of your Holy Spirit. You would guide them and bless their lives as they grow into the adulthood. The young children here, and we ask you to bless them, and they don't understand yet, but someday they will. The older ones have knowledge of this process, and I pray that you help them to just be able to make this change that we have for. Thank you for helping Harley and Janice in this time. I pray that you continue to bless and lead and cover them with your grace. I pray this all in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Brother Sam. Harley and Janice, you return to your seats and your children. Brother Dale, if you have any comments you'd like to make, you feel welcome to. Yeah. It'd be nice to have a song now if you have one, Brian.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Brian. When the message is over with, we'd like to have you come through and see them, and Dale can give you some specifics on that, to greet them and pray for them. And I'd just like to ask you, sort of informally, but I mean it, how many here this evening commit to remembering Brother Harley and Sister Janice this week, particularly? How many do that? Turn around and look at the audience. And how many here will remember Brother Curtis and Sister Alyssa for their willingness to support? Turn around and look. The church is in support of you. They love you and respect you. I was asked to give this particular message on godly responsibilities for a leader. But I believe that they are very applicable to all. What I'm talking about is sharing duties and responsibilities of a leader and a pastor's wife. And I believe that many of these statements or comments are applicable to every couple and to each family unit that's here, whether married or single. So I'd ask you to note what's applicable to your life and let God speak to your heart and your mind through what I share with you this evening. You know, the first and foremost thing, and I'll be making a lot of specific comments to Brother Harley and Sister Janice this evening, and understandably so, but they apply to all. To be a good leader, to be a godly leader, it's very important to love the brotherhood, to care for the needs of the church. It's very true, I feel, for all pastors, whether you're a lead pastor, associate pastor, deacon, and we often think of the deacon being one that's specifically designed for that, but I think it's true for all pastors. The people will not care how much you know until they know how much you care. It's been proven over and over again. It's about relationships that are in the church. That's what you're striving to have. And we think about being a little shepherd. And I cannot emphasize enough, Harley, the word little. We're not the great shepherd, of course. We're not even the good shepherd, of course. But we are little shepherds as leaders and pastors that God expects us to do what we can to help the flock that we are responsible for. We can't do it without depending on Jesus. There's just not enough of our own personality, characteristics, intelligence. There's not enough. So we must depend on Jesus to guide us and to help us. It reminds us, when we speak of a little shepherd, of the good shepherd, and I'd invite you to turn your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 10, for some verses that are familiar to you, but I'd like to read that with you tonight. John chapter 10. I should have brought my Bible that's I've had for 15 plus years, and it's a new Bible, so I struggle a little bit finding some things. Chapter 10 of Gospel of John, verse 1. Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. I read this as a familiar passage to remind us that a shepherd needs to know their sheep. And before, I'll say it again in a little bit. By referring to the flock of God as sheep is not a derogatory term. It's not negative. We are all sheep. Pastors are like our sheep as well. But when you're responsible for a group of people, and you see this passage here, he says that the shepherd, they'll hear his voice and they'll come running because they recognize and they know their voice because there is familiarity with Christ. Rightly so also with our earthly leadership. And he talks also about the fact that the sheep will follow him for they know his voice. You can't drive sheep real well at all. They'll follow, but it's hard to drive them. They're helter-skelter in different ways. And that's an important reminder to me that as we interact with people, that we inspire them. Another passage is just down below in verse 10 of the same chapter. The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he's a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I'm known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. One cannot find a more dramatic illustration of love for someone than if you're willing to die for them. And hopefully that's not the case, Harley, but I think people need to pursue loving the people that they've been charged to lead out in such a way that you'd be willing to give your life if need be. I say, you might say, Bob, I'm not quite there yet, and I understand that. But I do think a leader loves their church enough they should provide for their needs. God would have it that way in my understanding. But that was the first one, is to love the sheep. You need to learn to lead by inspiration. Some do that more naturally than others, but it can be a learned skill by everyone. It just does not work, in my opinion, in my experience. I'm 69, and the years, decades of living in church work. It doesn't go well by dictation. Some systems, some settings, some circumstances would operate largely by dictation, but what I've observed is that people eventually will rebel, and they'll leave. Now, there's a place and a time to be firm in one's discipline and direction the church needs to go, absolutely. But in general, people will follow you better if they're inspired by what you do. It takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. They earn their respect and earn their trust. They will expect to see holiness. Holiness. To gain their trust, to gain their confidence, we need to, as pastors, leaders, to walk daily with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's applicable to husbands. That's applicable to fathers. In the home, absolutely. Any leadership in the church, they need to gain that trust. And how do they do it? By seeing lives that are holy. Did I say perfect? There's no sense in saying perfect. None of us are that way. If it's about perfection, we as leaders would all have to excuse ourselves. There's no perfect leader here. It won't happen by luck or incidentally. You'll need to purpose in your heart to live a life of holiness by God's grace and as best you can. There's a passage in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. It reads, "Be ye holy in all manner of conversation or behavior, because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy." And that, of course, is applicable to all pastors and laymen, but particularly for a pastor. People need an example. They want an example of holiness.